Okay, hello to another engaging chat. But today we're talking about something really important. What do you do when you want to quit? Julie's here with us.
Yes.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Good. Yeah, so we're dropping this video into the platform about a week or so in. That mm-hmm. might be the statistically, Trish, what are the statistics on?
People usually drop out of their nutrition exercise plan around day 7. That means 1 week and you're like, I am out of here, okay? So today we're gonna address some of the things that make you want to run. One of them is maybe the scale, you know? So we're gonna talk about non-scale victories. We're gonna talk about trading food for hobbies and other things that bring you great joy. We're gonna talk about why your partner is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
Yeah.
And then the fact that your body changes from the inside out. So maybe that's another reason you're like, I'm throwing in the towel because I don't see any changes. My jeans are still tight mm-hmm. and I want that brownie. Okay. So now we're going to talk about, hey, it's not about that. It's about the fact that we're making changes from the inside and you got to have some time to see it on the outside.
And I even have something.
You have something?
I have my one thing.
Oh, good. Good.
Maybe this video should come under a little glass or a little plexiglass box. And you have to lift it up before you hit the red button. You got to watch this video before you just hit the red button.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So Julie, of course, she is a wealth of knowledge. You know this already because you dove into your app where you see all of our conversations. So today she's going to go on the battlefield with us and talk to us about these things and why they're useful to tap into so that you can have the courage to keep going.
Yes.
Absolutely. I think it's a great topic. And it's really important because it is that day 7 where you might start to get crabby or you might start to have a headache or your energy just tanks because it takes a while for your body to switch from one thing to another. And so you have to give yourself a little grace to get over that hump because once you get over that hump, you're going to feel like you haven't felt in years.
Yes, that's true.
Yes.
So where do you want to start?
I want to start with non-scale victories. You brought this term up in another video, and I want to talk about what are they? How can we kind of program ourselves to look in that direction for the majority of the time when we only look at, you know, hard facts some of the time? So what are those non-scale victories, and how can we kind of like program our brain to be okay with those?
So, you know, that's, I think the crux of what a healthy lifestyle program is really about, right? Because yes, the weight matters. And at the end of the day, we hope that that improves for you, but it's more important about how you feel and all of the things that come along with changing over how you approach life and what healthy habits are. So, you know, I've got a couple non-scale victories. Actually, I've got a whole list of them, but I'll hit on a few. And if you want to jump in and say, yes, mm-hmm. let's talk about that. Let's do it. Right. So, you know, we don't want to focus on the number on the scale because the other piece of that is that your body, as it starts to adjust to different food and you're hydrating more, the weight might fluctuate and you might be replacing fat with muscle, with water weight. All of these things kind of come into play, right? So if you get on that scale and you see a certain number, it may not be telling the whole story because it doesn't weigh out all of those factors. And so it can be really disheartening and confusing. And so, like you said, Trish, focusing on all of these non-scale victories is so much more helpful because it helps you feel some victory and it also helps you stay focused on that vision. So number one is how your clothes fit, because within a week or two, you're going to start to probably notice just a little room or your button isn't quite so tight, right? Mm-hmm. So how your clothes fit. Mm-hmm. Another one that I think is so big that goes unrecognized so often is the quality of your sleep. Food and what you drink absolutely plays into how you sleep, how long you sleep, how restful your sleep is. And that has a cascade effect on so many other things. That can affect all of our different like cortisol levels and mood and emotion and all those things and cravings. And so if we get good sleep, that is such a foundational thing in having success the rest of the day. So better sleep. Energy and mood definitely improve. Another thing that I think people will love is memory and focus. When you are not eating crap, your memory and focus are so much more on point, which I love. Then there's a lot of other things that are more physical, right? So likely you'll experience less aches and pains, like that stiffness when you get out of bed in the morning. You'll probably have some reduced inflammation going on. Less retention of water weight will eventually happen. Less GI irritation. Ooh. A lot of people suffer from things like irritable bowel and acid reflux and all kinds of other things that so often are tied to what we eat. And so if we can start to shift that, it takes a while for that, your gut to kind of reset itself, which we can dive into in some other things. But once that does start to reset, you start to feel so much better, because when your gut is out of sorts, like you're out of sorts, right?
Okay, so let's just, one for me that's popping out big time is sleep. And I definitely need my sleep. But one thing that maybe we forget about is that's when our body's repairing itself.
Absolutely.
So if we're not able to give it that time to shut down, how is it functioning later? So,
not to mention, I was listening to a podcast, and it's a podcast that we'll share on the activity feed. And I think it was Lewis Howes was asking Sean Stevenson a book, he wrote a book about where exactly does the fat go? Like when you lose the weight, where does it go?
Right.
The answer was shocking. Exhaling carbon dioxide is a majority of the fat loss, which happens in your sleep.
Yeah. Right?
So you're sleeping and exhaling carbon dioxide, which is essentially the fat that's being lost.
Yes.
So I would say that sleep has got to be a big factor in the overall thing. And if food is playing a part into that and everything else like that, it's crazy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sleep plays, there are so many factors that are related to sleep. It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Your skin can look better. You're more able to move around, right? Do things you want to do, hit fitness goals, play with your grandkids, your kids. I think the other thing is when you do something like this, you really develop healthy coping mechanisms. And that's a non-scale victory. To be able to know that you can deal with something coming at you and you can cope with it better, just that mental satisfaction of knowing that you achieved a goal or hit a milestone and that you can handle things in a different way.
Let me jump in there on one for both. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that same podcast, and again, we'll put it out there for you so that you can listen to it. Sean talks about how we're agitated. And so we're pre-agitated, like we're pre-angry. We wake up in the morning, we're pre-angry because we've filled ourselves with things that aren't helping us, right? We got a bad night's sleep. And then we're like ready to just go rah instead of, we probably could solve this way, because we're able to have mental clarity. We're able to come up with solution-based thinking. So all of that stems from eating. That's ridiculous.
Well, or even for me, I think working out.
Yes.
And so I know if several days have gone by without exercising and I were to be more agitated at from an email or response or feedback or something going off the tracks, and I take a step back, I realize that my reaction rather than response is probably geared toward being tired and not working out. Because when I personally, everyone I think has a different relationship with maybe working out or going on a walk. But for me, it's clarity. And it also puts my mind in a different spot, way more solution-based than not working out, which is often why I said it takes more time not to work out than it does to work out for people that think
it's living in your brain going, why didn't you go do that?
Yeah. I mean, something that would take me 2 hours if I have the mental clarity and focus and I'm firing would take me 1 hour. So my productivity goes up. I'm focusing on the right things instead of the wrong things. And when I'm in that mindset, and it's constant battle, but when I'm in that mindset, I think to myself, I don't have the time not to take the time to work out. Because when I don't work out, when I don't exercise, I move slower. And I focus on the wrong things and I waste all that time. I waste far more time than it takes. But anyway, that's another topic. But maybe that's just kind of a non-scale victory.
I think it's important though, and it ties in, but I just want to, you know, jump on that one thing, because we are talking about this and dropping this video about day 7 when all of that starts to unravel. And you talked about working out. And well, this program really is focused on that 55 minutes, I do want to tell anybody that's watching this that if you skipped a day or two and you're just feeling like you're on this downward slump, I'm telling you to just get up and do something for 10 minutes, because 10 minutes all of a sudden gives you that energy and that breath of fresh air. And you're like, why am I not doing yeah. this? And mm-hmm. you feel more focused. And so if that's you, get up, put your shoes on and go take a walk, because it will get you past that hump. And if for some reason you can't get to that 55 right now today, do what you can do right now.
These are some really great non-scale victories. These are things to be thinking about. And sometimes we just need a little reminder, mm-hmm. like, oh, I could be looking for that mm-hmm. instead of looking to the scale, especially if you're in a partnership where there's female male, because sometimes the male will lose weight faster.
Oh yeah.
And so, and more, and you're just thinking, I'm doing so much and how come I'm not getting the same results? So shifting your thinking to those non-scale victories is so important. But here's another thing, and we learned this from you, Julie, is trading food for hobbies. That yeah. time where you wanna celebrate or you wanna let loose or you wanna relax, moving your focus into a hobby or something that brings you joy instead of going into the kitchen and making a food that's not gonna serve you.
Correct, yep. And you know, I think that's so important. Like for instance, it also really helps us manage our stress if we find hobbies that we love, right? Yes. And that can be so many different things. That can, for some people like Mark, it might be working out, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, some people that could just be it. But for other people, you know, it could be crocheting or doing art. Like somebody gave me this awesome watercolor kit for my birthday last month, and I haven't painted since high school, and I'm painting all the time. And it's so relaxing. It helps you focus when you have positive energy going into something. Mm-hmm. So arts and crafts, music, it could be woodworking, it could be tinkering on an old car, whatever it is, you know, you can re-engage with something that creates those happy endorphins and those happy hormones and happy chemicals in your body in a different way than food. Because what happens with food, right, is that it activates something and it goes up quick and then it comes down quick. And so that's when you go through this roller coaster all over the place. But when you start to engage in meaningful ways, not only does it help keep that more consistent and constant, but it brings us joy and it helps you feel productive and accomplished, and it reduces stress and all of those things. So when we talk about non-scale victories, that's really important, Trish.
Yes. And I think that sometimes we think, okay, I have to have this hobby, and you kind of like start strangling the hobby. Really, it's the space you're giving your brain to be happy, to think about something other than work, exercise, food, kids, all your responsibilities. It opens up your brain to think of new ideas. And because we're going to be reading and doing things like that, you're going to have time to kind of percolate on the ideas, the new ideas that are coming into your space. Mm-hmm. And so when you give yourself that time, you actually get a bigger reward than just the activity.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you.
So we've talked about non-scale victories. We've talked about what we can trade for food and how it can give us so much more than just whatever that hobby or joy is. It ends up kind of stacking itself and giving you some brain space to think about other things besides your responsibilities. And then we're going to like go right into your partner. So with KYD 55, we really, really, really want you to consider having a partner. And then if you can pair up with two other people and have a group text message mm-hmm. so that not only are you partners with someone that's in your home, but you're partners with someone that's outside of your home that can keep you accountable. Because sometimes I know I have brought you over to the dark side. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I know we said we're not drinking, but I have this really yummy drink I made. So, but when we have a group chat and we're all talking about, oh, look at what I made, it can kind of keep you accountable because you don't want to be the one that let everybody down.
Okay, so let's talk about the person that does not have a partner and does not have this group text. So
that's true.
It's already a week into this and they're saying, well, I don't have that. It's not too late.
No.
Right? It's not too late to find that person.
Yes.
And maybe even in the activity feed, people can meet up
yes.
and match themselves with partners. or just get someone on board late. I mean, you know, they've only missed a week.
Yeah, who cares?
Right, who cares, right?
So send them the link, get them on board, tell them what's happening.
That reminds me of maybe one of the reasons why quitting seems so compelling is maybe a need of perfection. Mm. Like they, you know, if you fell off and you're like, okay, well, I've, it's not perfect anymore, mm-hmm. or I don't have this circumstance, or my spouse isn't on board, or my kids aren't on board, or whatever the case is. Sometimes I think there's a need to make sure everything is just right. And when it's not just right, at that point, it's just throw it out the window. Right. And we've said this with RVing before,
right.
You know, like sometimes people can create a dream that's so perfect with the perfect RV and the perfect scenario that unless if it's just like that, unless if it's that triple axle diesel pusher, a big fifth wheel with a dually, I'm not doing it. And the fact is that just like RVing, memories are amazing in anything you have. And just like health and wellness,
notching out away consistently is what counts.
So give up on the perfection and just make it happen.
Yeah.
So there's two things that I just want to comment about that. One is my son's teacher years ago, the whole year, had this saying on their classroom door, and it said, practice makes progress.
Yeah.
So not practice makes perfect, practice makes progress. Yeah. And that has resonated in our family since then, because it isn't about achieving that perfect, idealistic thing. It's about just moving along the continuum. So mm-hmm. that's number one. And number two is when we start to talk about these little small lifestyle shifts, and, you know, first we're going to give up this, or then we're going to try to add a little more leafy greens, or then we're going to try to drink a little more water. And you start to do this, it really has a compound effect long term. And so you might not see that result right now today, but if you keep those little habits, and it can take, there's different studies, take anywhere from 21 to 60 days, depending on the study you're looking at, to really solidify a new habit. And so don't give up today, because those habits, when you get to that end, A, they're going to become second nature. You're not even going to know you're doing them, because now it's just part of your healthy lifestyle. And B, the compound effect is going to be huge.
Yes.
Well, and that was the other thing I was going to say earlier, is that I think there is an expectation for the weight to come off very, very quickly. And if it came off as quickly as it came on, I feel like we would have an ice cream or eat at fast food, and we'd look in the mirror the next day and go, oh my gosh, like look at what just happened. And we'd never eat ice cream or fast food or pizza again. But instead, you have the pizza and you have the fast food and you have the ice cream, you have the junk food, and really nothing really changes the next day. And
maybe your eyes are puffy, right? Or you're sore, but you don't give it a lot of time.
Yeah. And so, you know, the body's resilient, and this goes on for weeks, months, years. But then the moment we decide, well, okay, we want to change something, we want to do something different, now we expect the body to say, hey, I know it took me a decade or longer to get here, but now I want you to show me that, you know, we're really making a big difference. It just doesn't work that way. So I think for me, rather than the scale, because we don't even have one most of the time, mm-hmm. is to go back to having the fact that just get in touch with the fact that you made the decision to do this.
Mm, yes.
And is it really about a beach body?
No.
Because I don't think that's that motivating. Is it really about looking better tomorrow, or is this really about healthy habits over a long period of time? And just say, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to keep doing this because I decided to do it. Not because I'm looking for immediate results, not because I'm looking to look better, not for any even of these non-scale victories. I'm doing this, or going to continue to do this for the next 45 days because I decided to do it, because I said I was going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So go, please.
It's about making an investment in yourself and your mindfulness about making an investment in yourself. This is not a waste of time or energy, because this is a long-term investment that's going to pay dividends for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then also just acknowledging the fact that, you know, because I think what could be deflating is putting a lot of effort into the first week and really not getting any substantial or noticeable difference. I think you have to A, do it because you decided to do it. B, understand that, trust the process. Things are happening inside.
Mm-hmm.
And like I told Trish before, all of us to some extent are a chocolate covered almond. So it takes a while for the chocolate
to melt
down around, but things are happening inside, right?
Right. So we have previously spoken about keeping a food journal, and some people are able to write things down. It's no big deal. Some people find that challenging, but here's another thing to add if you enjoy journaling. And it's one thing that I did today that was hard, because we all are capable of doing hard things, but maybe we don't recognize them and give ourselves credit. Because when you realize that you can do hard things, you're willing to take on other things. And one of the things that you might find interesting if you write down not only what you ate for the day, but something that you found hard, maybe for the first 10 days, it's gonna be walking for 55 minutes. Maybe it's gonna be resisting a certain kind of food or adding in a good healthy food. But then somewhere in like day 25, 30, that's not gonna be your hard thing anymore. And so maybe your hard thing is gonna be doing something you've never done before. And so you won't know that though, unless you've written it down. And one of the great books that we've read, Sean, and he studies happiness, and he talks Sean about, Aker. Yes, he talks about how success, we tend to move the target. And so we never say we hit it. We always say, oh, we're going to do this and this and this without realizing that we've already achieved so much.
Absolutely.
And so when you journal something, you realize what you've achieved.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And Jim Rohn even says in his journal, he says, I go back and I look at journals that I used to write 5 years ago, and I kind of chuckle at what I thought was significant or what I thought would be successful at that point, because, you know, yeah, he was naive to a certain point. I think we all are when you look back 5 years from now.
So right,
that's a good point. Even within a 10 or 30 day period, mm-hmm, you can look back and go, wow, remember when that was hard? And
right,
it was just a month ago. So I think that's a great way to keep on.
Yes. Yeah. You know, and I think that along with that, if you share that with your partner or you share that with the other couple that you're keeping accountable, sometimes when you actually write something down or you verbalize it to someone else, it becomes a lot more real at that moment.
Yes.
Instead of just these thoughts floating around in your head, because the average person has an estimated 70,000 thoughts a day. And so, you know, if you've got all of these thoughts just generating up here, but you don't acknowledge it, you don't write it down, or you don't tell someone, it just doesn't quite become real. And so I think that that's a really important point. And in terms of non-scale victories, that can correlate, right, to that partner or to that other pair of people that you're staying accountable to, because you could develop new friends in this. You might have a new sense of community, a new sense of support, new people that you have identified with that you're going to go visit. Mm-hmm. So there's tons of good that can come from all of that stuff as well. And focusing on that is also really important.
Yes, I love it. Okay, let's jump into how your body changes from the inside out. So it takes time. And I know we've talked about it, but let's just dive into it a little bit more, because it might give us all patience and grace with ourselves.
Yes. So there's a couple of things, right? I mean, I'm sure you've heard that your body replenishes itself every 7 years and all kinds of different statistics. And I'm not going to get too scientific, but the bottom line is that our cells are always going through a regenerative process. And like you said, that a lot of that happens when we're sleeping, right? So that regenerative process, if you have happy cells, the rest of your body works better, because it really starts at this itty bitty tiny cellular level, because cells make up organs, organs make up systems, systems make up your body. So if we can't get that cellular health correct, then everything else is haywire. Mm-hmm. But when we can allow our body to heal cells and make good, strong, new cells to replace the old cells that aren't working so well, health is going to happen. And so that's really, really important, is understanding that, you know, how the body is built and how that all affects one another. So if you're just focusing on weight loss or getting a cholesterol number down, but you don't get those cells healthy, all those processes that happen inside the body aren't going to happen to get that end result. And so you really want strong cellular health. That's the key takeaway in very simplistic terms.
Well, and that's why I think it goes back to trust the process, to know
absolutely
that you're on the path. It's 55 days. Mm-hmm. You said you were going to do it. Do it. regardless of what you're seeing. Get beyond the fact that, well, I've been doing this, you know, and it goes back to, and we've said this before, I think you do something and it's hard and you don't see the results. It's easy to be like, look, this just isn't worth it. I'm just going to go back and just, I'm just going to live my life. Right. I'm just going to enjoy my life. And the problem that, that Trish and I have with a type of mentality where I'm just going to live my life and whatever happens, happens, is we now live in a society in our healthcare system where, unfortunately, you don't just get sick and die. Mm-hmm. And getting sick and dying would
be... We're like really smart. So we're able to keep ourselves...
Alive.
Alive. But yet we have to carry this baggage of bad health with us. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to drop that baggage so that we can live as healthy and...
So this is like the first generation in which we're actually now have a shorter life expectancy. But the thing is, people are actually living a long time unhealthy. Mm-hmm. So yeah. You could live 10, 20 years unhealthy. And so that's kind of in my mind how I combat, I'm just going to do what I want. It's because it's not that simple.
Well, you want to say phrase that I think connects that perfectly, and it's quality over quantity. The quality of your days versus the quantity of your days. If you feel sluggish and junky and you can't move and everything hurts and you can't go out and participate in things that you want to do, or you're tied to doctor's appointments, what kind of quality of life is that? So you might live to be 101, but if you're tied to a nursing home bed, what difference does it make if you live to 101? If you can't...
This reminds me, this reminds me of another coping mechanism, because these are, in my mind, they're all coping mechanisms, right? How do we respond and cope when things get hard, right? That's right. The issue, right? People don't quit because it's hard. They quit because it's not as easy as they thought, right? Yeah. And that's the issue. Okay, I'm starting this now and I'm expecting results and I'm not seeing the results, so this isn't worth it. I'm going to stop. What it reminds me of is that everything is hard.
Yes.
Everything is hard. If KYD55 is hard, not doing KYD55 is hard.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Everything, there's always, it's always hard. It's just, what kind of hard do you want?
One thing weighs pounds and one thing weighs ounces. That's what Jim Rohn says.
Discipline weighs ounces.
And regret weighs pounds.
Regret weighs pounds. And so these are the things that I think of when the going gets tough. I think, yeah, it's hard. And not doing this is hard.
It's okay. All about the trade-off.
It is all about the trade-off. Okay, so because we have all different kinds of personality types, and Mark and I are two different kinds of personality types, I would just like to bring up my ways to stay motivated, okay?
Because Trish is saying I might be turning some people off, okay?
No, I'm just saying that you are really good at saying, like, you should do this because you should do this.
Yeah,
yes. And, you know, and accountability, and, you know, you respond to the call.
I respond to pain.
You do.
And Trish responds to gain.
Yes.
And I will say, we probably said this before, people run for two different reasons. I run from German shepherds and Trish runs for gold medals. So
I want to speak to the person who needs joy to stay like in a happy place in their brain so they keep going. And it's not always about being motivated, because sometimes it's just about doing. Sometimes you just have to do in order to get results, and you don't get your results right away. But one of the things that we talk about in KYD55, one of the major pillars, right? There's only five. Mm-hmm. One of them is reading. And so reading books like Living with a Seal, this should be rated M for mature. Okay, there's a lot of swearing in this book, but it's very funny.
It's entertaining.
It's very entertaining.
It's a page turner.
There's David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me. Okay, I know we've mentioned this before.
Intense.
But also, like, when you hear other people's stories that have been through things that are hard, you can gain perspective on, like, okay, I can add more spinach in my omelet this mm-hmm. morning, because I said I was going to add more leafy greens. And even though it's kind of a pain in the butt and things are a little different right now, whatever. But also putting things in your brain, like how to eat, what to eat. You know, we're not nutrition experts, but we know that nutrition's important. So we go and we read these things so that we're almost like filling our brain. Because if you think about how many things are coming at you every day, most of the things are based in fear. They're based in anxiety. They're based in, oh my gosh, this is a problem. So if you start to put things where people have specifically tried to solve problems for you and they're positive, This book that we're reading, these were Julie's recommendations. I'm putting it back here so there's not a blare on it. If you're reading books like this,
oh, you got to say what they are because this could be an audio version. So you were just holding the 31-day food revolution.
Yes, and then also how to make disease disappear. We'll put all these out there for you. And then motivational books, you know, David Goggins, Jesse Itzler. So finding books that are going to help keep you in a space, it's almost like brainwashing your brain because you're going to think about something today. So how about putting in something that's good for your brain that's going to help you make a good decision? Because you put your life in perspective to someone else's and you're like, you know what? I can do this today. And I remember when I was training for that fitness thing. Mm-hmm. And it was really challenging sometimes because I was working out so hard, and we're not saying that you should do this. Okay. This was ridiculous. It wasn't healthy, but it was for show and it was a limited amount of time. But anyway, when it got really hard, I was like, I'm going to walk away from this kitchen area. I already put my time in working out. I'm going to go and I'm going to read something and I'm going to fall asleep. Like, I know that sounds really drastic, but like at the end of the night, maybe you're used to doing something else. Like I know, like during the holidays, we're used to sitting down to a drink like every night. But if I make a change, I can't do the same activity and expect a different result. So I have to go walk upstairs and go read a book during that time that I would be consuming about 300 calories.
Well, what's interesting about that, and we have books that talk about that too, like the habits book and things, is that, and that's why we've said before, this isn't about willpower. This is about environment. So if you're used to doing something in the same environment under the same circumstance, unknowingly, that is a trigger. Trigger happens, action happens. So now we've said, oh, I'm not going to do this anymore, but I still have the trigger laying there. I mean, that's totally unfair. So if we want to change the outcome or change the result, we have to change the circumstance. So for a while, we just said every night at 6 o'clock, we go on a walk.
Yes.
That changed the environment. That changed the day. Now we don't go right into like dinner into the next thing because that was the old trigger for the habits. Now we go on a walk. Mm-hmm. And then after about a month of that, that became the new trigger.
Yeah.
Where something would happen and be like, oh, hey, it's time for a walk. And that becomes a new habit. So not about willpower. It's about environment.
Exactly.
Well, yes. You know, I think that there's something to having information so that you can make better decisions, right? And so I think so often people think it's just me or I'm crazy or nobody else does this or this is whatever, your perception is your reality. And so sometimes when you actually have some additional knowledge, it helps you put things in perspective and change your reality. So I think it's really important to know that a craving, whatever that craving is, if it's for a drink, if it's for ice cream, if it's for fried cheese curds, whatever it is.
Who's from Wisconsin?
Because I'm married to Ian, so I have curds in from Wisconsin, even though I now sit in Florida. But anyway, whatever that craving is, it takes 15 to 20 minutes for a craving to truly pass. It's not a momentary thing. Like you just should just expect that in 90 seconds, it'll be gone. If you just go over here and take a drink of water, it really does take a solid 15 to 20 minutes for that to fully pass and those chemicals in your body and your brain to restabilize. And so you have to come up with tactics and change your environment for a while, 15 to 20 minutes to get past that, which your idea of a walk is such a perfect one because that gets you past that threshold, right? But if all you do is walk in the kitchen because you have a craving and then you walk out and you expect it to be gone, it's probably not going to be. And so for me, it's really important to share different pieces of information so that people feel more grounded and realistic about what that process truly is like and what is going on in your body that you just don't fully understand.
And I like that you talked about tactics and having premeditated tactics to handle a certain situation or a certain trigger that would come up. I think also, you know, there are certain, if you're going to go on a walk, it's great time to make some phone calls too. Because, you know, this might not be the walk that you're going to get a bunch of exercise. It's just, I'm just going to go out and I'm going to go take a walk for 20 minutes. And there's probably people that you can call that you've been meaning to talk to catch up with for about 20 minutes. So, yeah. I mean, just, you know, put some headphones in and go out and take a walk or get on the treadmill or row or whatever for those minutes and just catch up with someone or handle those things or go run an errand. I know for a while, a long time ago, when I would start to feel tired, I would do the exact opposite. Instead of taking a nap, I would go exercise. Because once I started going, I wouldn't feel tired anymore. I realized that the tiredness was really not a true symptom. It wasn't really like a true craving. It was because I was overwhelmed or stressed or something else was happening.
I have something to say about that though, because some people will be like, well, I'm tired. How am I going to do anything? Mm-hmm. It's about showing up wherever you are. Mm-hmm. So if you are only operating at 30% of who you really can be, you're still going to give it 100% of that 30%. And that's okay. I think it's really important to realize that just because you're not going to be like going out there gangbusters, mm-hmm. that you shouldn't do it. It's that idea of perfection that we were talking about before. Yeah. So no matter where you are in that day, maybe you're feeling slumped, maybe something happened that's like affecting you emotionally, and you're only operating at a certain amount, you're just going to give 100% of what you can. And then there will be other days where you're 100% of 100%. And you make,
but you know what's great about that though?
Here's the most important part of that. It's usually the days where you have to give 100% of 30 that you make the biggest change, because it's that compound effect, because you still did it even when you didn't think you could.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. And then when you're done with it, then you reinforce to yourself that I said I was going to do it and I did it. And you feel 100% good about that, right? Even if you gave 30%, you feel 100% good that you did it anyway, and it keeps you on track. And it's just like, check the box. Some days you just have to check the box. Some days you just have to do the activity.
Right.
Yes.
So I have two things I want to mention about that. One is checking the box. For some people, like, for instance, like Trish, that getting that gold medal or whatever when you're doing a 5K, checking the box can be significant. So a lot of my clients, if we are working on something very specific, we figure out how to make it a visual. And so sometimes it's taking that tracking sheet and putting it on the refrigerator or on your bathroom mirror and tape it up somewhere that you are going to see it all the time, and you are charting your success. So wherever that is, you see it every day, it's very visual and it's right there. And so that's a recommendation I have, is if you just got that little tracking sheet tucked away somewhere, get it out in front of you so that it becomes part of your daily routine. So that's number one. Number two is, I think this is really important, because when we launched this program, we spoke to people about starting where they are. And for some people, it's going to be giving up one thing. And for other people, it's cleaning out your entire pantry and going gangbusters all into a new eating program. Mm-hmm. What I want to talk to you about is that there's a huge difference between support and accountability and comparing yourself to others.
Ooh, that's good.
And right now, at this day seven or this point, it's going to be really easy to look at that feed and see somebody else that like went gangbusters at the gym, or, you know, has eaten totally vegan for 7 days, and all you're trying to do is give up the soda. And so this is really, really, really important, is about accepting yourself, giving yourself grace, and not comparing yourself to the other people, but knowing that you're being successful in whatever goal you set out, not someone else's goal. Because whatever goal you picked, it's really important. And I want you to take a moment and digest that, because if all you're doing is comparing yourself to other people, it's going to be really, really difficult. And so celebrate your own success and meet yourself where you are and give yourself some grace.
Love it.
Yes. I think that's where we should land this plane.
Yeah, I agree.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
Really acknowledging what you set out to do and embracing that, not comparing yourself to others. That's a life lesson, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, Julie, as always, you share so much great information with us. I'm really looking forward to the feedback from people that watched this episode, how they're continuing to keep going and fight through those walls. It might be a speed bump for some people, and it might be just a straight up wall for other people. So how do you get to the other side? Share that with us in the feed. Mm-hmm. And
know that it is, to a certain extent, it is a battle. I mean, mm-hmm. it is, and it is difficult, and we're there with you. And no matter where you are on the continuum of how difficult it is, just know that we're all on the scale of difficulty. No one's on the easy scale.
No, exactly.
And sometimes just taking a moment to breathe and practice a couple deep breaths can get you through a lot. So practice the art of the breath.
I think, you know, I guess what I'll just say to close that it trust the process and know that it will be worth it in the end. Nothing, nothing worthwhile is easy. Anything that we look back and we say, hey, that was really good, required something difficult
to do. There has to be skin in the game.
Yeah. And so just continue to do the work and stay the course. And I go back to the decision because I know that's usually when change occurs in someone's life, it's because they decided to do something, right? And so when the pain of staying the same exceeds the pain of change, change occurs. And if you make the decision to do it, just say, I'm going to do it, and just do it. And then we'll chat on day 56, but not on day 7.
All right. Thank you, Julie. Bye for now.
Bye, guys.